done, please. Amen. Is there anybody still outside? You are welcome to the presence of the Lord this morning once again. I pray by the end of today we shall all be blessed in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you once again. We thank you because you have given us the opportunity to worship with you this morning. We thank you because of the grace you have given unto us, even to be able to be in your presence, to be your children. Father Lord, let your name be glorified in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, we just commit this morning service into your hands, starting from the Bible study. We ask you that you will come and speak to us yourself in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, we pray that we'll be able to surrender everything so that we can die in flesh, Lord Father, and then live in spirit in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, we commit our brothers and sisters that are still coming on the way to your hands. Lord Father, we ask that you will guide them safely to this place in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord Father, plans of evil ones concerning their journey, concerning their coming here, Lord Father, will not materialize in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Kings. In Jesus' name we pray. We are welcome once again to the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. The title of our lesson this morning is Moderation, Part 3. I believe we've had Part 1 and 2. But before we go further, let's quickly take the memory verse, which was taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. We have it in our bulletin. We may not have to go and read it. I will read, and then we will read together, and then repeat it once more. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's go. 1, 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's say it once more. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. We should study ourselves to show ourselves approved unto God. That is, a workman that rightly dividing the word means somebody that study and understand the word. Know what the word means, what the strength that is in the word of God. Our Bible passage is taken from the book of 2 Timothy again, chapter 2, from verse 11 to 26. Amen. You see, there are a lot of a word of encouragement from Paul to Timothy in this passage. And the summary of what we just read was the importance of studying the word, knowing the word, understanding the word. In that way, we'll be able to carry our work successfully. That is why he's saying that we should avoid stupid quarrels or unnecessary argument with unbelievers, because there is no way you can make them understand. It's just the power of God. It's just the Holy Spirit that can minister to them. Our own is to be able to explain as much as we can gently to them, so that the Holy Spirit can then take control. But they say excessive of everything is bad. Too much of everything is bad. I used to think that only applies in the secular world. But even in the Christian's life, too much of everything they say is bad. If you look through the introduction, you say that too much of eating is gluttony. There's always a fine line between what is good and when it becomes bad. Very thin line between them. Something that could be called excellent now, in the next second, if you overdo it, will become harmful. And that is why we're saying too much of eating could be called gluttony. And too much of relaxation become an idol. Too much of covetousness and idolatry. Anxiety can come from too much of care. When we say we care too much, and even finally, it might even lead to fear. Excessive joy can become foolishness. Some people may not understand why we are too happy sometimes. So excessive joy sometimes, if we don't control ourselves, can become foolishness. That is why we are dealing with moderation. And this can lead to idle words. Liberty can turn into license and then to licentiousness. That is the problem we're having in this present, in this modern time. Too much of everything, human rights, animal rights, tree rights, everything right. Everything I've got right. Kids have got right, even when they don't know what they are doing until they become spoiled. So too much of everything, though human right or this right is good, but when it becomes extreme, it's no longer useful. It becomes harmful to us. Confusion can degenerate to heresy and then bring about division. Moderation is therefore crucial in every aspect of Christian life. In this fourth part of our study, we'll see what we can do with moderation. And the topic is divided into three outlines. We're talking of self-preservation. Does anybody know what self-preservation means? Is trying to keep ourselves the way we are, not wanting to die, want to continuously remain what we were. And this could be interpreted both physically and spiritually. When I was looking at this, I was thinking about not wanting to die. That is what first came to my mind. But when I look at it thoroughly, I discovered that it goes beyond just the physical death. We are also talking about spiritual death, spiritual thing. When we say self-preservation, before we become born again, before we were Christian, there are things that we used to do, there are things that we used to say, there are areas that we used to go, and there are some habits that we have cultivated. But once we become Christians, this habit has to die with us. If you look at the first part of the self-preservation is talking about the God plan that is going to preserve us. He created us in his own image, and he is not interested in destroying what he has created, especially when we are in his own image. And if you look at the Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, actually, this is a very interesting passage, because this is the first blessing in the whole Bible. I look through, I look back. I started from the first verse, and that was the first time God actually pronounced blessing on in the whole Bible. That was after he created Adam and Eve. And then he started blessing them, and he said, be increased, be fruitful, and dominate, be dominion. Take control of the whole earth. He gave us the whole earth to take control. So he is not interested in our death. He is not interested in destroying us. Actually, he's interested in we increasing. But after that, the wickedness of man changed things. And that was when man became so wicked and were doing all sorts of evils. And God's plan then was possibly to destroy the mankind. But thank God there was a man, Noah, who actually had to intervene. Whenever God's wrath was about to come upon mankind, there's always people that are there that we're going to intervene. And that was why Noah was there. And he intervened. And because of Noah, God decided not to destroy mankind. If you look at the Genesis 6, 5 to 8, yes. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Lord was grieved, and that was a powerful one. God himself was grieved. In another fashion, he was very upset. He was sad. And for him to change his mind because of one man, you know what what that particular man means to God. For him to change his mind. And since then, he said he's never going to destroy mankind. And that was when he promised that. And that was why it was even a sin for us to take our own life. Suicide, both in secular world and the Christian and the spiritual world, is a sin that should not be committed. Whoever kills himself, even though he thinks he's owned his own life, has committed sin. It's an unforgivable sin. Because he has no chance to repent. Some can say suicide is a murder. But excessive for self-preservation sometimes could be very dangerous. It could lead to self-motivations. It could drive us away from being focused on what God wanted us to do, and attempt for us to preserve ourselves to remain what we used to be. If you remember the story of Saul, when he was running around and he was going to die, he went and consulted a future teller because he didn't want to die. He was trying to preserve himself, trying to go against what God actually wants from him. Let's look at Hebrews 2:14-15. Yeah, because the children of God are so fearful of death. They are so fearful of death, which were created by the devil. Jesus himself, because he came in the form of man, has to die so that he can carry the whole weight of sin that man has committed, so that we fear death no more. He has challenged death, and he has paid wage for us. So we just have to surrender ourselves. We just have to go around and perform our duty as is expected. He has done that for us, so there is no need for us to start preserving ourselves any longer. And when I was saying before spiritually, there are some of the things that we cannot preserve anymore once we are born again, once we become Christians. All the evil things, all the bad things that we have been doing has to die. The only thing that has to preserve is those are the qualities that God wants in us as a Christian. So even spiritually, we still have to be careful how we preserve ourselves. We have to preserve ourselves the way God wants it. That is why if you look at the memory verse, study yourself that self approved unto God. We have to do things that are approved by God. Let's look at John 12:24-25. Yes. Until a seed dies and then germinate, it cannot be fruitful. There is no way after being born again, if some of those things, if all those things, not even some, are not dead, died in us, there is no way we can be fruitful. There is no way we can be new. And that is why every sin that has been in us, every attitude that has been in us that are not approved of God must die. We cannot continue to preserve them and expect that we will benefit from the grace of God. So all those things must die with us, and then we can move on. Then that is when we can become a new tree, and then we start beginning to be fruitful. And let somebody look at Luke 9:23, and then somebody 2 Timothy 3:2. Luke 9:23. Yes.
And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, his own himself, forget, lose sight of himself, and his own interest in the kingdom of himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Yes, we have to deny ourselves. Now we can see this is beyond physical death. We are talking about spiritual. That we have to deny ourselves a lot of things. We have to deny ourselves some of the things that we do enjoy before. And then carry our cross and follow him. That is the only way we can do it. There is no other way around it. There is no way we can be looking back at Egypt like the Israelites did. When they were in the wilderness, there's no way we can start looking back and say, these are the things that we used to do before, and we do enjoy it, so let's go back and do it again. It's like we are going back. So before we can move on, we have to drop all these things. All these things have to die. We can't preserve this. Even while we are trying to preserve ourselves, we cannot preserve all these things. Is anybody in 2 Timothy? Amen. Because of our time, we'll just quickly go to the second part, and that is self-respect. If you look at self-respect in dictionary, it says when we put high values on ourselves, when we follow ourselves so much, if more than anything, we respect ourselves. That is, there are things that we are expected of us, and if you look through what the right, I was saying that you can't expect the wife of a governor to be quarreling with a taxi man over penny. One naira means like just a token here. You can't expect, as a Christian, we can't expect to find ourselves in a place where we are not supposed to be. That means we are not giving ourselves the respect that God wants from us. Philippians 4:8. meditate on things that are noble, things that are good. That is what we expected as a Christian. That is when we can win our respect even among the unbelievers. We are encouraged to preserve ourselves in studying the word that we can stand solid on our feet and question about hope that is in us. If we don't study the word and we don't understand the word, I imagine how we can go out and speak to people about Jesus Christ, how we can convince them of our belief and expect them to follow us in the same way. Therefore, we have to study the word, we have to understand the word. And that is how we can gain self-respect. You can't go and stand in front of people and want to convince them without really knowing what you are doing. You will lose your respect. And they will not even count you as anybody. But at the same time, self-respect can degenerate to pride. Because we've studied the world, we know the world, and this is very important to the leaders, the pastors, and people that are involved in church activities. Because of the knowledge that we have, sometimes we can become puffed off. And there are a lot of people that are seen, even in the Bible, that are in the same. And as the Bible says, pride will always lead to destruction. So we have to be very careful. You know, so Paul was saying that he prayed that even after preaching, after teaching people, he himself does not, being cast away. So the fact that we know the word, the fact that we can teach, the fact that we understand in this very way, we have to be very careful because that is when pride starts to come in and we start to rely on ourselves. We start to think that we can do things ourselves. We start to look down on other people that are not as understanding as we in terms of the word of God. And we start to use it for self-gratification rather than to glorify God. To do so will mean that he has no self-respect. We are encouraged to be prepared. And then, let's look at the Second Timothy again, 2:15. That was where we read. It's a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. We need not to be ashamed, but at the same time, we have to be cautious in the way we carry out our work. However, self-respect can degenerate to pride. We can easily become arrogant. If we do not take heed, we can become puffed up because of our holiness, deep knowledge of the world, or spiritually. Surely God hates pride. Let's read Proverbs 6:17. Yes, 16, yes. I was looking at it here. 16. Yeah. I think that passage doesn't really say what I was, but in some of those things, pride is there. I think hunting is there. Okay, yeah. That is looking down on people. I was looking at the passage that will actually mention the word pride, but yes. Proud look. That's anti-highest. So we got it there. This is why we are advised to be humble in all our ways, and that was said in 1 Peter 5:5. That we have to carry out our work with humility. Let's confirm that from 1 Peter 5:5. Thank you. Amen. That speaks following itself. We quickly go to the last part as our time is running out. Self-confidence. And this is not very far from the second one, self-respect, self-confidence. Self-confidence is not evil in itself. We are not supposed to be fearful or weak, as it was said in the book of Timothy, when Paul was encouraging Timothy that God does not give us the spirit of fear, but spirit of love, sound minds. So we all know that. So he hasn't called us to be fearful. He actually wants us to have self-confidence. And we have to be confident, not just in our look, but in what we know, in the understanding of the world. That's what we have to be confident in. Not just being confident because we look good or because we are strong or because we acquire this or that, but we should be confident in the word of the of God. There are things Lord expects us to do for ourselves. In fact, there are certain things that he claims we have to be responsible for. These are very important. Let's look at Matthew 18:18. He wants us to be confident about some things. Jesus was telling his disciples, giving one of them, Matthew 18:18. Those are the things God wants from us. He has given us that power, that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is the confidence God has given us once we become his children, once we understand his word and we follow through all his commandments. We should be able to do this. We expect this from us, and that is not counted against us as being too confident. Let's look at Ezekiel 2:33-8. Yes, and that is very dangerous too, because you see, the wicked man will die, but God expects us, as part of our responsibility, to correct these ones, to be able to speak the word, because we do understand it. And if you don't speak the word, of course the wicked is going to bear its own sin. But at the same time, we are not going to go scot-free. In fact, our punishment could be greater. And those are the things God expects from us. And those are the things God wants us to be confident about. Amen. But self-confidence at the same time, if it is not done in moderation, it can degenerate into self-reliance. Because we are too confident, we start to rely on our own strength. If you look at few people that are self-confident and rely on themselves, we can see few from the Bible. We can look at the case of Joseph. Joseph was trying to rely on his his talent given to him by God himself, and was trying to use that. I remember one of our brother was preaching that, using that to free himself from the prison by trying to be smart or negotiate his way out of the prison. So he's trying to rely on his talent, and this was given to him by God. The same thing goes to Samson. Samson was full of strength, and this was given to him by God, but he's trying to rely on this strength to free himself, or even to free the Israelites. There are a few other people too that we can talk about, but there are other people that actually rely on God's ability to do things for them. If you look at David did not rely on his own strength when he fought Goliath. He has to rely on God. While Goliath was relying on all the gadgets that he put on himself, and things that they can win the war. The same thing with Joshua did not rely on himself. He only relied on God. And when God said he should march around Jericho so number of times, he didn't rely on all the armors and all the ammunition that they've got. He actually relied on the word of God. If you look at Jesus himself, even though we know what he can do, and he knows himself, he knew what he could do, but he didn't rely on himself. He relied on God. Every time he relied on God, he did everything according to, like a mankind like us. He didn't say, because I was God myself, I could do this and that. And that was why he always prayed. He always prayed. He prayed to who? Pray to God or pray to himself? But he always prayed. He would fast. He would teach. He humbled himself and didn't just rely on his own ability. Amen. If you look at Paul too, as much as Paul could do, Paul did not rely on himself. Of course, it was confidence of his understanding of the Bible. Paul was supposed to be like an Anthony or how do we put it in legal department? He was supposed to be an Anthony or hierarchy or barrister. And with all his knowledge, with all of his understanding, he was a very brilliant sharp in his time. But all those things died in him once he became born, once he had an encounter with Jesus. And then he became like a baby. And before we can understand anything, we have to be like a baby. And we have to reason like a baby. We can't reason like an adult and try to use some scientific or some of our knowledge to interpret what God is saying. There are many other examples that time will not permit us to look at. Let's quickly look at John, and then somebody can look at John 15:5, and somebody can read 1 Corinthians 10:12. Then we close. Yeah, without him, there is nothing we can do. Without God, we are nothing. And 1 Corinthians 10:12. Take it. Yeah. Before. Yes. In case we think we know all, we think we understand everything, we can perform miracles, we can do this and that, we can pray for people and they get, we know everything in the Bible, we know everything about God, we must take it, lest we fall. That is why we must continue to study the word every day and with all humility, with all respect to others and to ourselves. Amen. Now we have three things here. We have self-respect, self-preservation, and self-confidence. Is there any of these things that worries any one of us that we think is our problem? Let's touch ourselves and see where we are lacking or where we are going above the board. Why self-respect and self-preservation or self-confidence, why these are very good features that we should possess as a Christians? We still have to do it in moderation. Otherwise, we'll be stepping above board and it will be counting against us. And it could be harmful to us sometimes. So let's search ourselves and see where these things are affecting us. And beginning to pray to God to help us in that area. We know we are not perfect. We are only striving toward perfections. We all have our shortcomings. My own may be a pride. Your own may be self-reliance. And somebody else's own may be not wanting to let go his former self. So let's look at ourselves and see which areas that we've got problem with and beginning to ask God to help us in these areas. And I'm sure God will definitely hearken to our calling in Jesus' name. Any questions? We are 5 minutes behind time. Any comments, contributions before we go into prayer? I believe we have all gained something. I believe God has spoken to each one of us in numerous ways this morning. In the absence of comments or questions, shall we pray? Shall we rise, please? Let us begin to thank God for this morning, for the successful beginning of this service. Let's begin to thank God for His presence in our midst. Let's begin to thank Him for the gift of Holy Spirit that is seeing us through this program. Let us begin to ask God to come and assist us in all our areas of weakness. Is it pride? Is it self-reliance? Is it self-preservation? In any area that we have been stepping above God, let us begin to ask God to come and assist us so that we can do things in moderation and do according to His will. Let us commit our brothers and sisters that are still coming into His hands, that He will lead every one of us here successfully, that He will guide our steps, that none of us will be involved and none of them will be involved in any crash or accident or any delay or any injury. Let us commit the remaining part of the service into His hand, that His Spirit will come and be the chairman of the whole activities this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank You once more. We thank You because we believe You have spoken to us. We believe that we have changed one or two things in our life. We believe that whatever is our problem, individual, Lord Father, You know. And You come and make up for us in our area of weakness in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we ask You once more as we begin the remaining part of the program. Lord, Father, we ask You, Lord, Father, that Your Spirit will dwell in us in the name of Jesus. And Father, Lord, that we will not leave this place the same at the end of the service in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we are praying.